Well, we are currently on our exploration for the new things that we now have in Christ Jesus. New things, that's the title of the sermon series that we've been in for the past few weeks. We're reminded in God's Word in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you're born again in Him, that you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We're also reminded in Revelation 21:5 that God is making everything, everything new. And so we're going to continue our exploration of these new things that God has for us, that are ours right now in Jesus. We've already discovered four of those new things. The first one was new thinking. And then we were reminded that we have a new spirit, that we have new freedom, that we have a new identity now in Christ Jesus. I pray that this past week that you've been just enjoying, reminding yourselves of your new identity. The enemy loves to rob us of it, but in Christ we're saints, man. We're new creations. The old's gone. This morning we're going to uncover a fifth new thing that we have in Christ Jesus, and that is new purpose. It's the title of today's message, New Purpose. One of the biggest questions that people often have is, why am I here? How many of you have asked that question sometime in your life? Why am I here? Well, in a movie called Unbreakable, there was a character played by Samuel Jackson whose name was Elijah Prince. And he has this quote. He says, do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's just an awful feeling. Sadly, most people walking around in our world today, that's exactly where they are. They don't know their purpose. They don't know why they're here. And even Christians spend their entire lives looking for that answer. Why am I here? What's this all about? What should I be doing? And as I was praying into this and beginning to write, of course, a songs jump in my head and I'm singing U2. I like their music. I do. And I started singing, you know, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And so many people, that's the song they sing literally all their lives. They keep singing that same song. Metaphorically speaking, you know what I'm saying? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why am I here? And the reason most people, that's their theme song in life, it's because they haven't realized and come to the understanding that the only place, the only person that they will ever find purpose and meaning and the answer to why they're here is Jesus. Apart from Jesus, you will live your whole life wondering why you're here. But you will find the answer to your purpose and to your life in Jesus. He gives us our new purpose. And so we're going to allow God to answer three questions for us this morning about our new purpose. The first question is this. Where do we find this new purpose? Where do we find our new purpose? The answer to that is God gives us our purpose. Where do we find our new purpose? God gives us our new purpose. Many of you are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans, I know the purpose I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans are a purpose to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Notice, God says that He knows the plans that He has for His people. God didn't say, hey, look, I know the plans that you have for yourselves, and I'm going to prosper your plans just because I love you and you're my people. God didn't say that. No, God has plans for us. Hear that again. God has plans for us, and He will prosper His plans. He will prosper his plans. I want to pray for Morgan right now, actually. Can we all extend our hands? Let's just pray for Morgan. Lord, God, we thank you that you are the God who heals. You make all things new. We speak healing over our brother even right now. We speak healing in Jesus' name. The power of the cross, the resurrection, the very power of God fall upon our brother even right now and bring healing for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to see him dropping those and running out of here later. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God has plans for us. And God's plans for our lives will prosper. Therefore, if we know his plans, if we engage with his plans, then we will prosper, won't we? If we walk into the purpose that God has for our lives, then we will experience satisfying hope and a God-sized future that he talks about in Jeremiah 29:11. That's pretty incredible. You want some of that? I want some of that. That's what I've been looking for. You know, in this whole pursuit of purpose, most people overcomplicate it. I try to keep things simple. I really do. Because life is just can be too hard. I believe that one of the reasons that this whole pursuit of purpose becomes overcomplicated for most people isn't because God makes it complicated. That's not why we can find ourselves, man, what's my purpose? I don't know. Why am I here today? Where should I go? What should I do? Should I move to Russia like Troy did? You know, I don't know. What's God have planned for my life? I don't know. It's not because God makes it complicated. It's because we complicate it. And I believe one of the reasons that we complicate this pursuit of our purpose and actually living it out and walking in it is because instead of just embracing God's purpose for our lives and his plans, we continue to try to get God to go along and to support and to promote our purposes. What we want, what our plans are. And so as we do that, things get really complicated. They get all convoluted and nothing seems to work out. We keep hitting brick walls. I want to return to our theme verse for this whole series. Again, it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has what? The new has what? Okay, check out the order of that. What happens first? The old has to go, doesn't it? And then the new comes. That's God's economy. God is laying it out for us right here in his word. Now, a lot of us, we want to flip it around and we say, oh, well, you know, I kind of want to grab the things of God first before I let go of the other stuff. And I want to see how it all works out. And I'm going to judge God based on me doing it my way, grabbing hold of what God says he has for me. And then I'll think about letting go of the old. But it doesn't work that way. God's economy says, we're new creations. The old goes. The new comes. In fact, that's the whole process of conversion. It's letting go of the old and bringing on the new God in our lives. If we never let go of being Lord of our own lives, how does Jesus ever become Lord of our lives? No. We say, I am nothing. I lay it all down for you. I'm no longer Lord of my life. I repent. I choose to die to self and to come alive then in you. Unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, how can it produce life? It can't. That's God's economy. That's how he's designed it. So the old has gone, the new has come. The old, including our old purpose, has to be let go of so that then we can grab hold of the new purpose that we now have in Christ Jesus. And I have a little example of that all set up for us here this morning. Are you ready for this? I'm going to offend some people. Woo! So what pastors are here for, right? No. You have to take offense, by the way. Don't do it. This is just fun. Okay, so what do I have here in my hands? What am I holding? I'm holding a very heavy old school PC. Old school, man. This thing couldn't do much these days. This thing's probably 12 years old, maybe older than that. It couldn't run any of the programs that are putting these nice, pretty slides up or running the sound system or anything here at this church. It can't do much. It has been infected, I'm sure, over the years with all kind of viruses because it's a PC, after all. It's running Windows. It's old. It's old. It's heavy. And I'm tired of carrying this big old heavy thing around that can't even take me into the future. I want to grab hold of this thing that's over here on my podium called an iPad. That's light, that's easy to use, that's like take me into the future kind of technology. That's what I want. But until I let go of this big old boat anchor thing called a PC, I can't grab hold of the new that's available for me right over there. Now I want the new. What do I have to do? I gotta drop it. Ooh. I gotta drop the thing. Tim said to me earlier, I just grabbed one out of the resource room. He said, I don't know if there's like data on there that we needed to keep. I'm like, brother, it's in God's hands, man. He's sovereign. That's the one I chose. It's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, look what happens. I gotta let go of that to grab this nice little thing. You know what I'm saying? This little thing right here. It's lighter. I can take this. I've taken this all over the world. It's easy. Could you imagine me traveling with this big old thing trying to, oh my goodness. Then you got to hook all kinds of other stuff up to it and make it work and all these drivers that just drive me insane. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we got to let go of the old so that we can grab hold of the new. I think there's also another neat thing is that the old is heavy and burdensome. The new is light, man. It's easy. That's what God has for us. Our new purpose isn't burdensome. It's light. It's easy. And you're about to find out it's great, too. It's great. James, in his letter, chapter 1, verse 8, talks about people being double-minded. He says that we can't be those kind of people. We can't be double-minded people. One trying to walk with one foot in God's purpose and one foot in our old purpose. We can't do that. If we do, we become unstable if we try to work both sides of the deal. You know what I'm saying? Unstable. Because the direction of these purposes is totally opposite. Our purpose, the purpose that our flesh has grabbed hold of, the purpose that the world tells us we have is completely opposite from God's purpose. As far as the east is from the west, I'm just telling you right now. And if we try to walk in both of those and try to carry both of those, we end up doing the splits. You know what I'm saying? It starts to get, I'm not going any further, all right? It starts to get bad. It starts to get painful doing those spiritual splits that the enemy wants us to do, tearing us apart even, painful, difficult. But that's not what God has for us. We're not built for the splits. We're not built for dueling purposes. Furthermore, James says that the double-minded person will not receive anything from the Lord. Sometimes we think, oh, but I can just have a little bit of the old and a little bit more of the new and kind of do both of those and I'm still going to get the good stuff from God. And God, because God's good, right? And His grace is awesome. But James says if we're double-minded and we try to play God because God can't be played, don't try to play God. I'm not saying like you, God, but I mean, you know, like play Him, like fool Him. Don't try to fool God because He can't be fooled. He says that the double-minded person won't receive anything from the Lord. When we try to get God to go along with our plans and purposes, instead of going all in with God's purposes, we won't receive what God has for us. And we will remain frustrated and unfulfilled. And I don't want to see the church, believers, followers of Christ, frustrated and unfulfilled because we don't have to be. We're new creations, and we have the new purpose completely available to us. That purpose that's light, that's awesome, that's great. That's full of God-sized stuff. It's ours in Christ. So, where do we find our new purpose? Only in God. In God alone do we find our new purpose. Question number two. What is God's new purpose for us? All right. I'll buy the whole thing, Eric, and I'm with you that our new purpose is found in God alone. But what is that new purpose for us? The answer is it's to do God's will. That's our new purpose for living, to do God's will. And I want to say this. Before Christ, you couldn't fulfill this new purpose. You couldn't do God's will apart from Christ. It's impossible to do God's will apart from Christ. But we're no longer apart anymore. We're part of, we're in Christ. And so now as new creations, we have this new purpose, and it's to do God's will. Jesus is our example of this. Now, we're called followers of Christ, aren't we? That's what we are. We're his disciples, but we're his followers. So we follow then what Jesus does. We follow in his footsteps and do the things he does and did. And Jesus said, and even greater things that we're going to be doing. Wow! So Jesus is our example. He showed us the way, how to walk in God's purpose and in God's will. Remember when Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't try to come up with his own plans. He didn't step down from heaven, humble himself, become a man, and then say, okay, now I got to figure this all out. I got to figure out why I'm here. I got to figure out how to get her done. First of all, I don't think Jesus talked like a hillbilly. But he didn't come down and think he had to figure it all out. No. Jesus didn't struggle with a sense of purpose. Jesus didn't fret about what to do next. He didn't worry about what the next move was in life and how things were all going to work out. Jesus didn't worry about that. Jesus kept it simple, and Jesus walked in his new purpose. And here it is. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That's simple. That's simple. As followers of Christ, this is also our new purpose. As we follow in Jesus' footsteps, this too is our purpose, to do the will of our Heavenly Father. You want to know your purpose? It's to do God's will. We're called to follow Christ by submitting our will to the will of God. Now, we understand that God's word gives us insight into God's will for our lives. God's will for us, for instance, is that we be saved. It says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God's will for us is that we be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18 highlights that reality for us. God's will for us is that we be sanctified, that we be made pure, that we live holy lives, and we find that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. God's word for us and his will for us is that we give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. God's will for us is that we do good. Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter 2, 15. And here's another thing. God's will for us is that even sometimes that we suffer for doing good. That's what God's word says in 1 Peter 3:17. But here's what I want to do. I want us to look at the words of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. Because I believe it is here that we receive our very clear new purpose. Let's get right down to brass tacks. Let's get right down to keeping it simple. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus, now this is Jesus, the resurrected King. If you were here for Easter, man, was that exciting. Reminding ourselves that he's the resurrected King. He's in his glorified body at this time. Jesus came to them and he said to his disciples, to his followers, are you his disciple? Are you a follower of Jesus? Then this is for you too. He said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's coming to them and he's saying, look, I have the right and I have the authority to tell you to do anything right now Because I'm God, because I'm sovereign. I have all authority right now to tell you what needs to happen in your life. And this is what I want to tell you. These are my last words here on this earth until I return. This is God's will for your life. This is your new purpose. This is important stuff. Listen. All right, you ready? Disciples? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, understanding the will of the Heavenly Father, the perfect will of God, was commissioning his disciples. He was instructing the people of God, all those that are born again in him, all the new creations in Christ Jesus. He's instructing us of our new purpose here in this statement. Our new purpose is to go, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them God's word and his ways. That's our new purpose as the born again new creations in Christ Jesus. In fact, being in God's will and fulfilling our new purpose will never happen apart from the Great Commission. We're never going to enjoy the satisfaction and the fullness of new purpose until we engage in the Great Commission. The thing, the very thing that the one with all power and authority, Jesus, instructed us just before he ascended to be back at the right hand of the Father. Important stuff. Important stuff. Jesus is inviting us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. He really is. I want us to start thinking rightly and correctly right now about this Great Commission. I want us to start thinking rightly and correctly about this because what the enemy wants you to feel right now is burden. Great Commission, it's a burden. Great Commission, it's something that I have to do. Great Commission, why? That's what the enemy wants to put on you right now. But here's what God is doing. Jesus is inviting his disciples to engage with him in something big, something monumental, something eternal. He's inviting us to be part of God's huge plan and purpose for all eternity. It's amazing that he would involve us and make it so clear to us. This is a gift. In fact, it's called the Great Commission. Our new purpose is called the Great Commission. It's called the Boring Commission. It's not called the you better do it or you're going to not make it to heaven commission. It's not called the this is a duty commission. It's not called the insignificant commission. It's not even called the good commission. It's called the great commission. How many of you like good things? How many of you like great things even more than good things? Yeah! This is great. This is called the Great Commission because this is amazing. It's great what God is including us in. The purpose that God has for our lives is great. It's amazing. I want to take a break because I'm getting tired. But actually what I want to do is I want to invite Phil Klein to come up. He's going to lead us in some prayer. He's going to lead us in some time to really contemplate this and take this in individually. Because one thing we want to make sure happens out of our whole study of these new things is that we don't let it go in one ear and out the other. That we don't just think doctrinally and theologically about this stuff, but we actually embrace it and live it out. And one of the first ways that we do that is we receive it and we say yes in our inner man to God. We say, yes, I'm on board. And so that's what we're going to get to do right now. Thanks, Phil.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? So we're going to take just a few minutes and interact with what Pastor just shared with us. I'm going to lead out, if you'll just kind of join me quietly in agreement of a couple of things we're going to pray about. And then I'm going to allow a few moments at the end of each of those just quietly for us to kind of personalize them. So, Lord, we just, God, we acknowledge that your ways are the best ways. Your plans are the best plans. And I just pray that you would forgive us Lord, because there's times where we've decided that our plans are the best plans. We really believe that in how we've walked out our lives. And so we just confess that before you, Lord, because your plans are perfect. You know all. You see all. And so we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that in those times where we're going through life and we're trying to understand what your plans are, God, I thank you that you have given us your word as a plumb line, as a guide, Lord, as the perfect guide for us to guide us while we're waiting and while we're trying to figure out the next right thing to do, Lord. So we thank you for your word. We can just be, it is our anchor, Lord. We just praise you, Lord. So even right now, Lord, we just want to take a moment and just confess areas where maybe even now we have a plan that we're running with that we haven't even put before you, Lord. We want to put it before you right now and say that if it's not your plan, Lord, we're even willing to let it go. So, Lord, we just lay these at your feet, and we just pray that you just help us to continue to lay them at your feet, Lord, that your plans would prevail. And, Lord, I thank you that we have been, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we have received that gift, Lord, we have the hope of this life and eternity to come with you. And, Lord, you call us to share that with other people. And, Lord, there's things that hold us back. The busyness of life holds us back. Fear and not knowing what to say holds us back. And, Lord, so we confess those things to you right now. And, Lord, we just ask you to help us to trust you, to give us just the right words at the right time for the person where you're already moving on their heart. And, God, I pray that you would equip us and help us to be faithful to the Great Commission, to lead others to Christ. Help us to ask, even each day, Lord, for you to put people in our path that we can share the love of Christ with. Whether that's being the first one to just drop the seed or to share something from your word or being the last one in the chain to see them receive that gift and open that gift. So, Lord, I pray as we take a few moments that you would help us to, you would bring people to mind. And you would give us opportunities even today to share the love of Christ, to share the gospel with those who don't yet know you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to quickly share. So I led this prayer in the first service as well. And when I was up here, I prayed, Lord, you give me someone. Today I'm thinking neighbor or something. And right after church, Don knew me to run a couple of guys back to a place that they were staying. And I got to share the Lord with them. The whole time we're just talking about the Lord, and I got to pray with them at the end. I was just thinking how good God is. He answers that prayer. Sometimes this Great Commission thing seems way out there, huge, but it's just responding whenever he puts it in front of us and then asking. So we're going to conclude this prayer time. On the screen here is the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to pray it together. And I encourage you, don't do it from memory, but actually do it from the screen. It just helps us sometimes to read the words and to say, and we're just going to proclaim that together of that God's will be done. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Amen. Amen. Not our will, but yours be done, God. You may be seated. So what do we do? That's the third question. We know we have a new purpose. It comes from God and God alone. We know that that new purpose is to do God's will. But now what? What do we do? How do we embrace God's will and our new purpose? So the first thing we do is we ask, just as we just got done doing. And we can ask every day. We can ask throughout the day. God, lead me into this new purpose. God, give me opportunity to fulfill my new purpose. I want to talk about a man that ran into an opportunity to walk into this new purpose in Christ, but said no. His name was the rich young ruler. It's an odd name, but he must have been rich. He must have been young, and he must have been some sort of a ruler. And he was invited to participate in new purpose by Jesus himself, to follow Jesus, to go where Jesus was going, to be involved in supernatural, eternal things, the same kind of things that Jesus is asking you and inviting you to be involved in. That's why, again, it's great. It's great. You can find out about the rich young ruler in three of the Gospels, in Mark 10, Matthew 19, and Luke 18. Read about him a little bit. Here's the deal. He was invited to walk into new purpose, but sadly, this man was unwilling to leave his old way of life and his old plans behind. He was unwilling to abandon his old purpose, unwilling to walk into God's new purpose for his life. Jesus was like, it's simple, rich young ruler guy. Just follow me and do what I'm doing, which of course was God's will, right? But sadly, this man wouldn't let go of his own purpose, and so he walked away sad. This guy walked away sad, and I don't ever want to walk away sad from Jesus. I don't want to walk away sad from God going, man, I wasn't involved in the things of God because I was too busy in my own things. And I don't want to watch any of us in this whole room, in this whole church family, to ever walk away from God's plans, purposes for your life sad. I don't want to see that. And we don't need to walk away sad because he's there for us. He's there for us, inviting us to freely participate in this new purpose. I want us to embrace the final words of Christ. I want us to choose God's will for our lives, our new purpose. What do we do? How do we do this? Let's go back because it's simple. What do? We go. Again, let's just... not complicated, just as Phil said, you just go. You don't stay. The Great Commission isn't stay, hide, huddle. The Great Commission is go. Don't keep to yourself. Go. What else do? We make disciples. It can start by making friends. It can start by, quote unquote, making converts. But it can never stop there. Because we're called to make disciples. That's followers of Christ, lovers of Jesus. And then we're called to baptize them. To bring them into the family of God, no longer orphans, but now sons and daughters in the family of God through the waters of baptism. I mean, it's beautiful. And we're called to then teach them God's word and his ways. It's that simple. What do? We go, we make, we baptize, we teach. It's not complicated and we don't have to do it alone. First of all, we do it by the grace of God, with the Holy Spirit in us, working in us, through us, God. We do it with him, but we also get to do it with one another. We're not in this alone. You're not in this alone to do these simple things called your new purpose. Go, make, baptize, teach. As we're getting close to closing here, I want to ask a few questions. They might be a little personal, maybe a little prickly, but they're real and they're the kind of thing that we need to do often, examine ourselves. What's our life really look like? Not to beat ourselves up or bring on condemnation, but just to go, oh, I got to shake out of that and get back with God and what he's doing. I want to ask you, have you ever baptized someone after leading them to Christ? Not necessarily being the one to dunk them and bring them back up out of the water, but have you been involved in sharing Christ with somebody and actually getting to watch them go to the waters of baptism? Seeing that happen, have you been involved in that in your life? You can be. You're designed for that now. It's part of your new purpose. God's given you all you need to be part of that. It might be just like Phil, just experience. You get an opportunity to give somebody a ride somewhere. And next thing you know, you're leading them to Christ and seeing them baptized and come into the family of God. It wasn't struggle. It wasn't fretting and worrying. It wasn't, you know, trying to make it happen in his own strength. It was allowing God to guide and direct his paths and being available and just being who he was, saying what he knows. He knows Jesus and giving him the good news of Christ. It's not hard. Have you been spending the past several years? If you've been a believer the past several years, have you been spending that time making disciples? I mean, I'm talking about systematically teaching people God's word and his ways. Is that what your life has been about? That's your new purpose. to make disciples. We just watched a movie in this room last night called The War Room. It was a great time, great movie. By the way, our sound system is awesome in this room, man. That movie was booming. Wow. But in that movie, I don't remember her name, but she's the older woman, maybe Clara or something, the older woman who had that prayer room and the war room, the prayer room, and she led that younger lady who was a realtor to how to really fight for her marriage. It's from the place of prayer. It's to get in that prayer closet. And when she was done with that disciple that the Lord led to her, what was she doing? She went back into her prayer room, and one of the first prayers that she was praying is, Lord, give me another one. Give me somebody else to disciple, somebody else to teach about how awesome you are and how you work and how you operate. Give me more, God. Give me more. That was her heart. Because she knows her purpose. That's your purpose. Is this what you're doing today, this week, this month? Is it on your calendar? I mean, maybe I got to put everything on my calendar or I'll forget to do it. Sometimes we fall into this whole thing, well, you know, I'm busy. I'm doing a lot of good things. I'm raising kids. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm working hard to provide for my family. God doesn't mind if I'm not going out and purposefully making disciples of others right now. He gets it. And besides, I'm living in grace, and you know, it's all about God's grace. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is about God's grace. That's why we can go out and make disciples and fulfill our new purpose, because of the grace of God. We can go be who God has created us to be and who Christ has saved us to be, the salt and light in our community. Hide it under a bushel? No, we're going to let it shine. We're going to bring Jesus into other people's lives. It's easy though, and I go there sometimes, and I'm just like, I get frustrated with myself. I start defending my lack of engagement in my new purpose. It's so easy to defend that. We substitute actively living out this new purpose with other stuff that's good. So what do? We study God's Word and we study about what God says our purpose is and what our life is all about now in Christ Jesus. And that's good. And we pray, oh God, may your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we want revival in our land. We're tired of evil triumphing. We're ready for you to come. Bring your kingdom. And we're praying for God's kingdom. And we're praying for the church to rise up. And we pray and we pray and we pray. And studying and praying is absolutely necessary. We need to stay and pray. But if we don't end up having that stay and pray launch us into going and growing the family of God, then there's a problem. We're not fulfilling our new purpose. We stay, we pray, and then we go in the confidence and grace of Christ Jesus. And we watch the family of God grow. That's our new purpose. It says in Proverbs 11:30, he who wins souls is wise. Why? Because they understand God's will. And they're walking in their new purpose to bring people into the family of God. I thank God that I'm surrounded by an amazing church family that gets this. Amazing church family that's wise. That is going out, just as we even heard. It happens every Sunday. It happens every week. It happens downtown Gilbert. It happens in the places of business. We have businessmen and women here who tell testimonies so often about how they're sharing Christ with coworkers or clients even, and people are coming to Christ. And sometimes it's a quick thing. Sometimes it's years of sowing into somebody's life. But the sowing is happening, the going is happening, the making disciples is happening. We're seeing people coming alive in Christ Jesus and growing in the Lord. And it's amazing to watch this church family fulfilling their new purpose in Christ Jesus. And from this church family, Jesus is going into our neighborhoods. He's going into our halls of government, into our businesses, into our schools. And as a result, transformation is happening. Even whole families are coming to Christ, and we're fulfilling our new purpose in Jesus. I want to conclude with this amazing reality. And that is that when we embrace our new purpose, the Great Commission, remember, it's great. It's not boring. It's not hard either. When we embrace our new purpose, we find that God is with us always. Jesus concluded the whole statement about our new purpose by saying, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Always with us as we're about God's will, as we're living out our new purpose. Now that's some serious motivation, isn't it? To get on board with God, to let go of this old thing over here, right? And to grab hold of the new. That's amazing. He's always with us. And remember, the new purpose is light. It's new and improved. It's like, actually not like the old. Amen. Let's stand up. Not only do we have the privilege of living out this new purpose now as born-again believers in Christ, but we really do have all we need to do it. And it's not hard. I want to end with that statement that the Lord gave me as I was backing away from going when He opened the door for me to go and to speak to some leaders in our community. And I was saying, but no, I'm not qualified. And the Holy Spirit very clearly said, Eric, go. Just be who you are. Say what you know and give what you have. Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I'm a follower of Jesus. What can I say? I can say that Jesus is the hope. He's the answer. And I can give Him the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really that simple. What doors, what relationships is the Holy Spirit opening in your life? Walk through those doors. For you're not going alone. Jesus is with you always. And He's changing people's lives.